I did follow your advice, by the way. I did get a little beverage going on for tonight.
Nice.
Yes, indeed. A little Johnny Black.
Oh, okay. Keeping it, it's a little classy.
What can I say? I'm a classic man.
I like that. I like it. So, I mean, let's get it started, if you're ready.
Give me a second.
Okay.
Born ready. Let's
get
into it.
Thank you, Paulo. Thank you for coming on, brother. I really appreciate you taking some time with me tonight.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. You know what? I came across the Mahar episode, and I definitely had a very good first impression of the podcast. Love what you got going on here.
I appreciate that. So it was actually crazy. Like, so I first met you in first year in microeconomics with Professor Eric Cam.
Legend. Absolute legend.
Legend, the man himself. And I don't think we've ever actually met ever since last semester in the gym in the Mac, if I'm not mistaken.
You're definitely correct. I think that was our first time actually meeting each other in person.
Yeah.
Like I saw that absolute animal on the bench press. What was it, 4 plates you had?
Yeah, that was my warm-up. Yeah.
Warm? I don't know what I'm getting into here.
No, but I was so honestly like flattered, and that made my day when you came up to me. You're like, you dap me up, we bump fist. And then you were like, I love the podcast, man. I was like, what? You listen to my podcast? So no, thank
definitely.
You.
Like, I'm a big fan of podcasts, first and foremost.
Man. Well, I'm happy to have you on. Let's just officially ask the question. What are you drinking here tonight? For all the listeners to know.
Listeners, I am currently sipping on some Johnny Walker Black Label over ice.
Oh.
Feeling very eloquent.
I like it. Can I get a little shake of it? Beauty. For myself, I'll be honest, I had the stomach flu and I'm just getting over it. So I just have a nice big thing of water. But if not for the stomach bug, I would have something similar. But not quite. Not quite Johnny Walker Black. Probably beer. But
right on.
I digress. So I want to ask first and foremost, what's your program? What's your major?
My major is global management. Okay. I'm a part of the business management program at Ryerson, and I'm completing a minor in finance.
Okay. And why GMS? I'm very curious. I think it's such a broad, or it can be such a broad major. So I wonder what drove you to it.
Oh, definitely. Great question. GMS is one of those majors where whenever you tell someone you're studying global management, the question always arises, what is that? What is global management? So for me personally, I do have a very big interest in supply chain management, especially considering the whole logistics situation that we saw throughout COVID-19. I felt like it's an industry that is growing at such a constant rate, and there's not enough people to fill those positions.
Yeah.
And I also have a cousin who graduated from the global management program at Ryerson, and he's doing quite well for himself. So I thought I'd try following suit. Originally, I wanted to go the economics route, but I very soon after realized calculus is not my best friend.
Yeah. Same here. I despise it.
But yeah, so that's what I'm doing over in global management. Of course, it's very, very broad as well. I feel like you kind of go over a lot of the majors. Like you kind of dip your fingers in, whether it's marketing or finance. So I felt like it was the best choice for me, quite frankly.
I like that. I like it. So I kind of did a deep, this is going to sound so professional, but I did kind of like a deep dive on your LinkedIn at least. And I saw your current role is a sales specialist. Right. And so something that you wanted to talk about was sales and finance and marketing. So I honestly want to know what inspired and motivated you to pursue that role in sales, even if it's only temporary.
great question once again.
Come on.
To be completely honest with you, I've always enjoyed working within the realms of sales.
Mm-hmm.
I started off selling cell phones, like cell phone plans, corporate benefit plans with a like sister company of Rogers called Red Wireless.
Wait, which one? What was it?
Red Wireless. I'm not too sure if you heard of it.
No, I got a phone from Wireless Wave before. I'm like, did you go from there? Okay. But Red Wireless.
Yeah, it was interesting. Basically, I was working from home like 12 to 8 for almost a whole summer. And what I would do is I had a bucket of leads and I would go in and do the cold calls.
Oof.
Like, it definitely gave me some thicker skin.
I can imagine.
Like, there's nothing anyone can tell me that I haven't heard 6 inches from my mic before. Sales, it's an interesting field because I like to think we have one thing in common. It's the ability to speak, right? Mm-hmm. You seem to be a big talker, so am I. But with sales, if I can get paid by selling someone a product that makes their life better, I feel like it's a no-brainer. Like, it's definitely something I enjoy.
I like that. I used to be, it's funny, my first ever job was as a telemarketer. It was super sketchy. I interviewed and they hired me on the spot. And I never made any sales, but I got yelled at so bad. And this was as like a 13-year-old. And so for you, I'm curious, what's your sales pitch? Like, if you can, I don't want you to give your secrets away, obviously, but like if I'm cold calling or if you're cold calling me, how do you open?
So it's been a while since I've done cold calls. That was like my first year summer.
Okay.
Now I actually sell trampolines, funny enough.
Ooh.
But in terms of cold calls, you got 15 seconds to grab who you're talking to before they hit that phone and they begin to cuss you.
Okay.
So what I would start off with was, hello, is Judy here? Right? Let's say we're dealing with a customer named Judy. You have lead, you have some of their information, you know what they checked out on your website. And I would kind of lead with just confirming the person's name because then that kind of gets the balls rolling in their head a little bit. Who's this calling? Oh, my name is Paulo Santos. I'm calling you from Rogers Red Wireless. I saw you were looking at some of our corporate benefits. So you kind of plant that seed. This is what we're talking about. Right away, you'll know if the person is into it or if they're not into it. The person's saying, oh, I can't talk right now. I'm at work. Now's not a good time. Right away, you establish a pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how does tomorrow 3 o'clock sound for a conversation? And if they're still pushing it away, you know it's not worth to bombard that person. You're just going to get them angry.
Yeah.
So I would say the main thing with cold calls is you want to be a friend, not an enemy. Because it's very easy to get frustrated with telemarketers, as I'm sure you found out very quickly with that job.
Yeah.
What were you selling, by the way?
I was selling thermal windows and doors. It's like the windows that in the summer, it keeps you cool. In the winter, it keeps you warmer. I don't know how it works. I don't know if it's actually, I honestly don't even know if it's like a real company or if it's legit, but they had maybe a dozen people in this tiny little room and it was the worst experience of my life. I'll be honest.
I'm so sorry to change the topic for a second here, but how's my voice? Like, am I clear?
Brother, you sound awesome. You sound lovely.
Lovely. I love that.
Yeah, dude, of course. Don't worry about it. I was wondering, are you in the co-op program?
No, I am not.
No?
I am in the four-year, like just bachelor's of commerce.
Which is totally fair. I totally get that. So you used to work 12 to 8 in the summer.
Yes.
Those are some hours. And so I'm wondering, do you have any kind of opinions on working a corporate job like the 9 to 5? Because I'm just thinking about co-op, and that's what I'm doing now. And I wonder what you think.
You know what? I feel like there's definitely a negative connotation from most people about working that 9 to 5. But
yeah,
at this age, if you really want to get your foot in the door, you want to begin putting together that awesome resume. You want to learn from other people.
Yeah.
That co-op 9 to 5 isn't necessarily a bad idea, in my humble opinion. I mean, like, I just this past summer, I was working with the same company I'm with now. They're called Spring Free Trampoline. They're a subsidy of Goba Sports. And that was a 9 to 5, some days 10 to 6. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed it. I think it really comes down to what you're doing and what your team is like.
Yeah. I like it. I think it's cool. I never thought, like, I don't even know how to word this. I feel like you just have a personality and the charisma of a salesman. I hope that it's a very positive thing. Like, I feel like the idea of when you call someone a salesman or a salesperson, I feel like it can come across kind of negative almost. Because like you think of like car salesman, but I think you carry, I think you carry a very positive energy.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, for sure.
I could say the same thing for you. You could, I feel like you would be a very good salesman, David. All right.
I appreciate that. So, that's the thing. I was wondering, like, because when I think about sales, and I've had friends who were in sales with, like, for like furniture or patio, whatever. And I wonder, when you're selling to someone, do you ever see them as just like, oh, this is a customer, this is a number, I need to get money from them? Or do you actually see them as a person that you're trying to help? And I mean that in the, like, not to put you in a corner where it's like, do you dehumanize the people you're talking to? But, you know, it's like, I feel like when you're selling, it's easy just to see people as a metric.
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah.
Like, if you have a quota to meet and you want to, or okay, let me come into this from a different angle. I feel like if you're selling a product that you truly believe is a good product.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily have that kind of battle of morals.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you know you're scamming people, then that's a little bit outlandish. And what, considering the stuff that I've sold in the past, it's not like cars where you have a bottom line and you try mm-hmm. to sell as much as you can.
That's good.
Into your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Commissions are definitely a motivating factor to increase sales volume. At the end of the day, take more money.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely not pushing stuff onto people. The whole thing is you try to create a need, and if mm-hmm. that need is there, the sale's already done. The person's going to jump onto it. If you're doing a lot of convincing, that's the whole thing. You don't want to chase after your customers. You want to have mm-hmm. your customers chasing you.
Yeah. Interesting. Would you say that, or how would you describe the, how do I word this? I basically want to just know your experience in sales and how that's shaped you as a person over the years.
That's a great question again. To be completely honest, I think that sales has definitely given me that confidence that mm-hmm. I maybe lacked a little bit coming into university.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just comes down to being comfortable speaking. Like, I've always been a relatively confident person. Mm-hmm. But in terms of confidence in speech, I saw that in my personal life really, really excel once I started doing like the phone sales as well as in-person tangible sales. So I feel like it has had a positive impact on my personality as a whole.
Yeah, I like that. I wonder, because so I was with my girlfriend. We were going to like a boat showing, and the salesman there, this guy, this was the best salesman I've ever encountered in my life, because we went up to him. He shook all of our hands, and I felt like this guy like truly cared about us. He was our best friend. Like, he was talking to us like he knew everything. And just that knowledge, I'm like, what boat is that? He says it, how fast, the horsepower, like the size, the capacity, all this. I feel so safe around him. And so I don't even know how to segue into this, but with sales, how did you get over that initial fear of rejection, if you had that at all, of just like being cussed out or just ignored by the customers?
You're asking all the right questions here. I'm loving this, David.
Oh, I'm glad.
Just to paraphrase, like, how did I beat the fear of rejection?
Yeah, or just the fear of being told no. As a person trying to sell something, maybe even a fear of failure, to put it more broadly.
Well, like, I have a very like different perspective on failure.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like without failure, you'll never really succeed. Like, I knew getting into sales that it would be inevitable that I'm going to fall flat on my face some days. There's going to be days where maybe a customer asks me questions and I don't have the response right away. I might look a little bit foolish. But yeah. You kind of just got to accept that, right? Like, you can't have a rainbow without a little bit of showers.
Oh, that's a good one.
Thank you.
Yeah. like that. I feel like...
Sorry, so you said you're doing co-op?
Yeah, I'm doing co-op myself.
Is this your term?
This is my term.
What are you up to, man?
Dude, I'm working for the government. Federal government, marketing, and communications. It's interesting. It's definitely a very unique experience to work from the back end. That's why I like, it's so cool to see in the government and even with what you're doing in sales, like to see the behind the scenes stuff. Like with what I'm doing, I kind of go to events when all the ministers and politicians talk. I'm the one setting up those events, taking the photos, making sure everything works. And so I think it's so cool to see people's jobs on the other side, you know, and see what goes on to make it work.
That must be interesting. Like, you know what? It's funny you say that. I should have known that you accepted that government position because I totally liked it on LinkedIn.
Oh, dude. Oh, don't even sweat it. I, on the topic of LinkedIn, super random. I don't like it. LinkedIn. Yeah. Like,
really?
Yeah. Like, it's such a unique platform. I think it's very useful. It's very powerful as a platform to, you know, network to help you meet people. But at the same time, I feel like there's always this almost like facade or this like mirror that people put up to try and look perfect. And that's not to say like I'm gonna, you know, people should post, you know, them drinking, whatever. There's a place for it. But it's like, do you ever notice the responses on some posts where it seems so manufactured and just not real? It's like
a little exaggerated almost.
Yeah. It's like, congratulations, Polo. I am so proud of this achievement for you. Or is there something that just doesn't feel like that's like what somebody would say?
You know what? I definitely see what you mean. Like, it's almost like it's almost like a competition of who can be more professional, who can be more built up at this young, tender age of 20, 21 years.
Yeah.
Old.
Yeah. I do know. Like, okay, the real ones. I mean, as I'm sure you know from listening, this is casual. You know, it's chill. So we'll keep it real. I'll keep it real. That I do. I go through LinkedIn. I get so demotivated seeing what other people are doing. It's such a comparison thing. Like, I see people getting these co-op terms at Microsoft, Google, like all these big companies. They're amazing promotions, and I'm like, holy shit, I don't have that. So that's where my like, not disliking of LinkedIn is, but rather just like, you know, I don't love it. Maybe a hot take.
I know at first I might have came off as a little bit perturbed by your opinion, but you know, with a little bit of thought, I definitely see what you're getting at here.
Yeah.
Like, it can be maybe not demotivating, like for me personally, it's another word for it. Like, it almost like makes you a little bit anxious.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's the feeling right there.
Oh, they're doing this. Oh, they did this Microsoft Excel bootcamp challenge. I haven't done that yet. What am I doing wrong? But
yeah.
Like that's social media as a whole, I feel.
For sure. I don't know if you're the same. Like for me, like on TikTok and Instagram, when I see, because I mean, you go to the gym. We met in the gym. And I see all the fitness influencers, all those guys and girls, and they're ripped. They're like perfect specimens.
Are they though, or is it just like the videos that they're choosing to post?
Exactly. And that's what I try to remember. It's like, even the ones who are natty, like Alex Eubank, it's like, yeah, whatever. But they take a million photos, a million things in perfect lighting at the perfect pump. And it's to try and look perfect. But still, there's always like in the back of my mind, I'm like, damn. Like, I feel like I could get there, but I won't. And that's not necessarily to say that I want to. I don't know if you've ever had that thought before.
Oh, of course. Yeah. You'll never be as big as your pump. That's first and foremost.
Yeah.
Like, me personally, like, I'm a huge fan of fitness. Not necessarily to go for goals. Like, my big thing is I like the idea of having longevity in terms of, like, my physical health.
Yeah.
Like, I'll see family members getting older, like, approaching their late 40s to late 50s in that 10-year range. And it's like, you know, I have some family that's in really bad shape. So my whole mentality is if I can get really good habits in me now, as I progress and become older, I might be able to continue those habits and be in a healthier state in my, you know, later stages of life.
Yeah, I love that. What do you do now? What are your main workouts or types of workouts?
Yeah, once again, great question, David. I have a really weird split. Like, you're gonna look at me like I'm a little bit of a strange guy.
Okay, let me hear it.
Vertical push and pull.
Okay.
Followed by horizontal push and pull.
Okay.
Followed by legs.
Mm-hmm.
Followed by delts and arms.
Okay.
And I got one day a week I play soccer, and one day a week I do kettlebell training.
Okay.
So typically every day but Sunday, I try to stay active.
Nice. That is definitely the most unique split I've ever heard, breaking it up by direction.
Oh, it's amazing. Like, you just got to find what you love. Like,
the yeah.
You get from like a vertical push and pull day, like where you're pushing up for shoulders and you're pulling for kind of like your outer lats.
Mm-hmm.
It's such, like, you just look incredible.
I believe it. So, okay. So for vertical push, what exercises are you doing? Because I can only think of like shoulder press and then different variations of that.
So typically what I'll do is I'll start off with a heavy barbell press.
Okay.
So I'll do 5 sets of 5 reps. And that's just to get as much blood into my delts as possible.
Okay.
And then from there, I'll hop into a 3x20, 4x20 on lateral raises. So that's switching it up from my frontal delt to my kind of like side delt.
Yeah.
To kind of give you that wider look. And then I'll throw in some T-bar rows, or upright rows, sorry. Mm-hmm. And then some rear delts, I'll do face pulls.
Nice. That's tough. That's awesome, yeah. And then and then I guess on the horizontal push, that's your chest. And then... Mm-hmm. Are you hitting triceps on that too, or do you count that as pull?
So the triceps, I don't isolate them except for that one arm day that I have.
Okay.
Because other than that, I'm hitting triceps when I do anything overhead press, as well as, you know, horizontal press, like a bench press.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna be activating a lot of like your long head and your tricep as you're mm-hmm. on the decline, you know?
For sure. I like it. Nice. Thanks. How long have you been doing that for? That whole split?
So I have like, it's a program that I'm following.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of curated between me and a buddy of mine. He's like a CPT. He works at a Good Life Stouffville.
Awesome. Okay.
And I'm about 3 weeks in.
Is he liking it?
I am loving it. You know, if you're interested, I could definitely shoot you over like the Excel file.
Yeah. I'm so curious. Absolutely. Send me that over after if you can.
So that will be the horizontal push-pull, vertical push-pull, delts and arms, as well as legs.
Yeah. And then the kettlebell, is that a part of that routine, or is that your own creation?
My own creation.
Nice. How's that? I've seen a lot of kettlebell stuff on TikTok and on the internet, and I've wanted to get into it just to try it.
Like, I compare it to smoking a bong. It's inebriating. It is such a feeling. Like,
oh, yeah?
When you're swinging around the kettlebells... decently heavy, and it turns into like this stamina, this cardiovascular exercise. It's just, there's such a feeling with all that blood coursing through your veins. It's like integrating powerlifting with cardio. Like it throws your body into shambles. Like, no way you're going longer than 25 minutes, 30 minutes.
Oh, so they're quick workouts for those?
It's almost like a HIIT workout, like a high intensity interval.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are you familiar with like kettlebell movements?
I know the one. Oh my God, what is it? It's when your legs are spread out and then you're just swinging it underneath. Yeah. I know that.
Oh yeah. That is like, that's the base block of kettlebell exercise.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely have some of those. I really like using like halo work for kind of like my anterior serratus, as well as like my rear delts.
What is the anterior serratus? That's a new term.
You ever see someone who's like really, really jacked? They take their shirt off and it looks like they kind of have like angel wings right where they're oblique.
Yeah.
So that's your serratus.
Okay.
And what I'll do to hit that, like, this is my favorite kettlebell workout. It's like, I think you call them halos. You hold the kettlebell upside down and on a fixed plane, you're supposed to bring it around your whole head.
Oh, nice.
And then you bring it back around.
I've seen those. That looks killer.
I actually saw LeBron doing that in a video once, and I said, I'm kind of like LeBron.
That's so sick.
Just need to gain about 100 pounds and a foot and a half.
I love it. Honestly, I remember when I was a kid, like I used to play basketball, and I'm like, I'm going to make it to the NBA as a 5'4 kid. And I would watch all these like workout videos, and there was one. It was like an hour-long video of LeBron training. And I'm like, whatever this guy's doing, you got to do. So I'm like,
definitely.
He spends a couple million on trainers, like physical, in the gym, everything. Whatever he's doing, it's probably for like peak performance.
Definitely a lot of steroids. I'd love to see LeBron fans. That guy's urine would melt a USADA cup.
You don't think he's natural?
There is zero chance he's natural.
Really?
Like, the pure stature on a man like that, to be able to go out every night, put up the points he is at his age, I can't see him being natural.
Wow. But I thought about that too. I'm like, even like all NBA players, they play 82 games. Oh, the majority. Some get hurt. But like, I don't get it. But aren't there rules against using, I don't know, performance-enhancing drugs like that?
So, like, PEDs, especially in modern sport, specifically the NFL as well as NBA, like, they are regulated to a certain point, but I've heard that there's a lot of loopholes.
Really?
Oh, most definitely. Like, there's certain substances that aren't illegal yet, that are new, that haven't been declared by USADA, and people will use those substances.
Man, that makes a lot of sense, because I've been thinking that LeBron and all these freaks of nature, these athletic gods, are natural and just like got lucky. But it makes more sense if they have some kind of boost, I'll say. Some kind of help.
Okay, but then again, what do I know?
Right. This is not like a professional thing. It's just, you know.
This is not medical advice.
That's exactly. But so I think it's awesome that you practice fitness. I mean, just from you talking about it, it seems like you're very into it. And so I wonder, how has playing sports and fitness as a whole influenced your upbringing and the development you as a person?
Oh, I would say huge. Like, in particular, like the one sport that really, really... It is really important to me. It's definitely soccer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so my background is Portuguese. My father was born and raised in northern Portugal. He came here about 30 some odd years ago. So growing up, like, I was basically in an FC Porto t-shirt. That's the team. Nice. I don't know if you can see it.
I can barely see it. Yeah, nice.
And then on the other side, it's my homeboy over here. We won't say who that political figure is, but... I just hope you see the corner of his head.
I see him. A little controversial figure, some may say.
Yes. We got to keep it real on the real ones, so we won't get into that. We'll keep them wondering. Yeah, but like growing up, I idolized a few soccer players. Mm-hmm. You probably heard of them. Cristiano Ronaldo, of course.
Of course.
Ronaldinho, Karim Benzema. So growing up, like I always looked up to the determination, dedication these athletes had, especially CR7 Ronaldo. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that kind of showed, like, in my sports life. I would try to be as, you know, humble as Cristiano Ronaldo was. I would try to train like him for a little period of time. I was even walking like him.
Oh yeah, nice.
But yeah, like how about you? Are you a big sports fan, David?
I like basketball the most. Well, I used to. I don't really watch it anymore, but that was a big part of my childhood. And that's what I enjoyed playing. Now, somehow I got roped into a summer men's league for soccer. I have not played since I was 11 years old, but I'm excited.
You should be.
I think soccer is amazing. Right now, I don't know if you know the league, Serie A. Series A Italian soccer.
Come on. Andiamo, David. Andiamo.
Napoli. Who's winning?
I mean, didn't Napoli just go up like 20 points? Something stupid like that.
They're like 25-2-2. Napoli's winning it.
I'm gonna look up the Serie A table as
Oh my god, I
hate how Roma's doing. That's my team in Serie A. Oh,
dude, I have a friend who's team Roma. I'm like, that's an L. I think it started as a joke with a lot of my friends are Italian and they watch it and I'm not. But so it started as a joke. They'd be like, who's winning Serie A? And I would start saying it as a joke, but now I'm actually invested in it.
Like, are you watching the Roma games?
I don't know. I don't know where to watch it.
Oh, sorry. Games. My apologies.
No worries. I don't know where to watch it, but I keep up with the scores every time they play. I make a little reminder in my calendar when one of their games is coming up.
Yeah. I mean, this is the right year to follow Napoli. They've been garbage for so many years.
Oh, really?
Like, in fact, everyone thought Napoli was going to do really bad this year because they lost, like, two of their best players from last season, if I'm not mistaken.
Can you fill me in on it so I can I don't want to sound like too much of a bandwagon here. Kind of jumping on at the right time, it seems.
I'm going to look up exactly who it was who they sold. I know there was a couple big names. Oh. As you can tell, I'm not a Napoli fan. It was, okay, Koulibaly they got rid of. He went to Chelsea. Okay. He was like their top center back. And I think Mertens was the other gentleman they lost.
Okay.
Oh, and Lorenzo Insigne, the Italian guy who came to Toronto SC.
Okay, so we have him now.
Yeah. So TFC grabbed Insigne from Napoli. So all those people left, and they brought in these young guys like Osimhen, the Nigerian national, who is just racking up points in Serie A. And then there's a new guy, Kvitschka.
Okay.
And it's crazy. They got this young team, so much passion. They're fun to watch in Champions League.
Nice. Do you know where to watch Serie A? Because I'm trying to watch the finale somehow in a few months.
Actually, so Serie A is like a really weird league. Like, there is no finale.
Really?
Like, you know how, like, North American sports, we have conferences?
Yeah.
So how it goes in Serie A is whoever finishes number one, they win the league.
That's it?
Yeah, and the last three teams go to the bottom division, and the top three teams of the second division come to the first.
Wow.
Yeah.
So there's the final game of the season is just like a regular game?
But yes, indeed. But the way it's looking, there will be a game probably within the next 3 weeks that when Napoli plays, they will secure their spot at number one.
Man.
Because they're up so much.
I know. I see the scoreboard. That's just like a monumental difference. But so
crazy. Can't believe it happened with Napoli.
And I think Napoli and Roma, they played, they matched up in the past, right? This season.
Yeah, I believe everyone plays each other twice.
So have they played twice? Do you know?
Let's look it up here. I got you on my Mac and I got my PC behind me.
We got the research going on here.
It's turned into a soccer podcast.
That's it.
Last time they played, Napoli beat them 2-1.
Oh, yeah. They beat them every time. I'm sure.
I love the confidence.
I try not to, like, I love talking about it, but I also can't, I have to be careful about who I talk to because they could be really into it and then I'll sound like a bandwagon, which I am a little bit. I'll be honest. I'm not the biggest soccer fan in the world, but it's nice to be a part of something, you know?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, Napoli has a ridiculous history, by the way, in terms of soccer. I hope you know about some of the stuff that they used to do.
Enlighten me, please.
Are you familiar with the man, the myth, the legend, the late Diego Maradona?
Of course.
That guy, when he was playing Napoli, he was like best friends with the mob, put it that way.
Oh!
You look into it, you can hear and read stories about the ties between Maradona and the mob, because Maradona, although a phenomenal soccer player, he was like a crippling cocaine addict.
Okay.
You hear stories about when he was in Napoli, and Napoli would have to play in Northern Italy. They would take out two planes, one for the Napoli team, and one for Maradona and the hookers.
Wow.
different era of soccer, different era of Italy. It's very interesting to look into.
Man.
In fact, you can actually find footage of Maradona on the sidelines for Napoli, playing for Napoli. His team, actually, like, they had something orchestrated for halftime. When Maradona would be on the bench and he wanted to get a bump in, they would actually hide him from all the cameras.
Really?
And, like, you can look it up on YouTube and find it. Quite literally just this little 5'6" Argentinian man taking bumps mid-game in Serie A tournaments and whatnot.
Oh, my God. What? I had no idea.
Look into it after this. You'll have a good life.
I don't even know what to call it. The dark past, just the past of Napoli.
I don't even know what you would compare that to, Napoli. That's like the Juarez of Mexico in Italy. Like, that's where the mob is.
And on Napoli?
Oh, big time.
Oh, shoot.
Because Napoli's like the larger city. And I know the south, like Calabria, Sicily, they have a lot of mob tendencies as well.
Really? Oh my God.
It started in Calabria. I'm not too sure if you know Italian geography.
I've been to Sicily.
Have you actually?
Yeah, I visited Italy like years and years ago. I was very fortunate to go.
Palermo? Did you see Palermo?
I think so. I was a little bit young, so it's a little fuzzy, but I saw like all the big, obviously all the nice tourist attractions, all the fun stuff. Are you familiar with Italian geography? If you can, just name me things.
Name me things. I'm a geography buff. Like I.
Oh yeah.
I love world geography. Anything to do with geography or religion, I'm in a huge fan of.
I have a question. I have a geography trivia question.
I'm ready for this.
Actually, wait, does that geography love, does that extend to like countries and flags, or is it more so like physical location stuff?
Most definitely.
Okay, everything. Okay, perfect.
Love it.
There is only one flag in the world that does not have the colors red, white, or blue. Either one of those or a combination of the three. What country is that? So red or white or blue or any combination does not have it.
And it's only one country.
Mm-hmm. With the current modern flags. If you look in the past, there have been other countries, but currently.
I feel like it's something so obvious.
It's tricky. I had no idea. I was told this at one of the events that I was for work.
What were the colors?
Red or white or blue.
I feel like Myanmar is green, yellow, and I can't remember the third color.
How do you even spell that? I don't even know what that is.
M-Y-A-M-M-A-R. Myanmar?
Oh my God. No, it has red. Red.
Damn. And yellow.
Oh. Red, white, and blue. Yellow's fine. It is hard.
Okay, give me one more guess here. Are you able to give me a continent?
Oh, I don't. Okay, let me look at a world map here, because if I say something too specific, it'll give it away.
Okay,
let me see. But yeah, when I heard this, I was dumbfounded. Okay, let me zoom out. Oh shoot! I'm so bad. Continent. So I'm very bad at geography, I will say. Can I say it's... Oh, dude, I don't even know what this is. Okay, I'll say it's... This might give it away. It's around the Caribbean. I don't know if that's... That's probably not a continent.
I mean, it's an area of the world.
An area, sure. Around the Caribbean, yeah, we'll say that.
Jamaica? Is it Jamaica?
It is Jamaica.
Really?
Jamaica is the only country in the world without red, white, or blue in its flag.
Yeah, black, yellow, and green. Look at that.
Did you just know that like off the top of your head? Yes. The colors? Oh my God. Okay. This is so cool. Okay, sweet. Okay. This is something new now. I did not know this. Okay. what is the craziest geographical world fact that you know as a result of your love for it?
I got this. In Africa, okay, you can fit the whole continent of Australia and Oceania as well as Russia.
In Africa?
I know this because I saw an infographic on Instagram and it had like Russia spread across it as well as pieces of Australian Oceania within it.
Like inside the, I don't know what to call it.
If you want to go in a big rabbit hole one day, look up the true size of Africa.
Because I heard, don't maps like inaccurately represent it?
Africa is huge.
It looks tiny on the maps.
There is rainforest, there is deserts, there is everything in between, there is mountains, the world's longest river is there.
The Nile?
So many different, the Nile, good man, man. So many different religions, so many different ethnicities, like.
Wow.
I'd love to make it out to North Africa one day. Like that's one place I really want to see.
That's amazing. What do you want to see there specifically? If there's anything like
specifically, I've seen pictures of like the capital of Tunisia, Tunis, mm-hmm, and it looks just phenomenal. Like it looks, mm-hmm, beautiful, and like especially with my culture being Portuguese, there's a lot of Northern African in our history.
Really?
I'm not too sure if you know this, but at one point Portugal was like, they were not enslaved, they were a colony of the Moors, who were essentially like the Islamic North Africans ranging from Egypt all the way to Morocco and the modern day Sahara Desert.
Mm-hmm.
And just like when I go back home, like to see my family in the southern part of Portugal, you have these massive mosques that have been there for hundreds of years. And they're so breathtaking to look at.
That's beautiful. Oh my God. I had no idea.
Yeah.
So how far does Africa, like, okay, Africa itself, it's a continent?
Yes.
Okay. How far, what does it encompass? Like, if you can name, like, the upper country to the low, like, you know what I mean? On the upper and the lower range of its area, if that makes sense. Because I'm looking at Google Maps. I just want to see how big I should be looking.
So, like, the northern part of Africa, which essentially starts at Western Sahara, goes through Morocco, then Algeria, then Tunisia, all the way to Egypt and Chad, that's, like, the northern part of it. They're, for the most part, like, Arabic-speaking countries.
Yeah.
And then as you head to the south, the Cape of Africa is going to be South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And then to the east of South Africa, you have an island known as Madagascar. And if you keep on going another 150 kilometers east of Madagascar, you have the beautiful French island of Seychelles.
Seychelles?
Also the country in Africa with the highest GDP per capita. Don't ask me why I know that.
How do you know that? That's a really cool fun fact to know.
It's a place where there's a lot of very affluent people. Like that's like the Luxembourg of, I guess, Africa.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay. Now, I want to ask you on the flip side. I asked you what was the most interesting fact you know. What is the most, like, boring fact you know? That's not really common knowledge, but it's just like, eh. Because now I just want to test you. I just want to know. This is so cool.
I don't know. A boring geography fact. There is no such thing.
Okay, sure. Fair. But okay, what's your favorite geography fact if someone asks you for one? Like your go-to.
My go-to.
Yeah, if you have one, just that's just ready in your back pocket.
Ready in my back pocket. It would be that I can't even think of anything off the top of my head. I'm more of a fan of like geography trivia.
Okay.
Like to give you an example, like I get this from my father 100%. Growing up, we had this game, and if we'd go on a drive longer than like 45 minutes, we'd, mm-hmm, start at the letter A, and we would go through and see, go word country for country, and see if you can name how many countries that start with the letter A.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually, you get a winner for the letter A, naming countries, and then you go to B, and you go all the way down to Z.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of like where my love for geography and countries kind of came about.
That's amazing. From that experience being with your dad?
Yeah.
Playing those games?
Yeah, that's like awesome. That kind of planted the seed. Like, I'm a big fan of maps. Like, mm-hmm. My favorite character from Dora, hands down.
Is the map. I love it. Okay, so I've played that game too with letters, but I always get stumped. I don't know what it is. Like, there's after a certain point, obviously, you run out of countries to name. But what's there was always one. I think it was like W or X, like one of those like obscure letters that are really uncommon.
X is difficult.
Yeah.
W, yeah, Wales.
Wales? Okay.
Countries with W. That's a tough one. W
screwed me all the time. And even Y.
Z's tough too. Y. Yemen.
Yemen, good one.
I feel like there's more. Y.
I'm like trying to think about stuff. I can't. Yugoslavia? Yeah, no.
Why?
I'm like actively cheating, looking on the map that I have open. I can't find anything.
Besides Yemen, I don't think I could.
Okay, that's fair enough. Fair. But it's okay. That is actually so cool. I did not expect that like aspect of you. Just when we were talking on LinkedIn or even met in the gym, I'm like, that's so cool. This is
it's awesome. Just geography buffing me.
Yeah. It's such a cool little thing. Do a lot of people know that about you?
Like my closer friends.
Definitely. Yeah.
Fair. Like even local, like GTA. Like it's really weird. Like I know like literally like the back of my hand, probably a 50-kilometer radius of like downtown Toronto outwards, as far west as Orangeville, as far east as Oshawa, as far north as Whitchurch, Stouffville.
Okay. Are you a very good navigator, like when you're driving, if you drive?
David, I am so hard-headed. I literally deleted the Maps app off of my phone. I refuse to use directions. I'll look at the map before I know the intersection I'm headed to, and I'll figure out how to get there. I refuse to look at my phone. I think as humans, we're supposed to be very navigational creatures, and now we're all navigationally impaired because of Google Maps.
I 100% agree. And I am 100% navigationally impaired. I'm trying to fix it, and I've gotten better, but it takes me maybe 10 times of driving the same route from point A to point B to memorize it and be like, I can do this confidently and not forget where I'm going.
Wait, whereabouts did you grow up, by the way? Like city-wise?
I grew up in the GTA.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like York region, Peel?
York region.
You're not from Markham, are you?
No, I am not. I'm from Vaughan.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
I'm in York region as well. I'm like born and raised Markham boy.
Markham?
Yes.
Markham Pan Am?
Buddy, best swimming pool in the country.
I literally only know that because the other intern that I'm working with, she works at the Pan Am. So I'm like, Markham Pan Am.
Yeah, it's like right beside the GO station, beside the high school, Bill Crothers.
Oh, Bill Crothers. Did you go to... Did you go there?
No, I went to Markham District.
Okay. Because I know Bill Crothers. Bill Crothers, to me, that was always like the coolest high school you could ever go to as a person who played sports.
I definitely see what you mean. Either they're Thornley.
Yeah.
What was the Thornley and they play basketball? You know they meant business. Oh,
yeah. Like those schools, that was like the NBA like boot camp or whatever professional league boot camp. Like I swear I thought of these people as like literally like NBA prospects or NFL or whatever sports. It was cool. But so actually, speaking of on the topic of sports and people. Have you, and kind of also going back to fitness, making friends at school for a lot of people can be so difficult, especially at TMU, which is a commuter first school. Mm-hmm. And so for you, how did you find ways to meet new people, make those meaningful connections, and actually make friendships?
This is going to sound like so dry, but quite literally like just speaking to people, like, what's the worst that could happen?
Yeah.
Like, when I saw you in the gym, like, I knew who you were right away. In my mind, I'm like, well, why don't I say hello to this guy? I had classes with him in the past. I know he's friends with Malhar.
Yeah.
I'd say, like, just approaching people in your class. You know, if you see someone looks interesting or you overhear a conversation that sounds like it would be a fun one, you can butt in respectfully. How about you? Like, I feel like you're definitely very approachable. I feel like you have people talking to you all the time at school.
I appreciate that. Thank you. I met like Malhar. I met my group of friends literally just through Discord. Like somehow we ended up on the on some Ryerson Discord server.
I was on that server too.
Yeah, and then we branched off into that one. Oh no, that was where we started. Oh my god. Yeah, the TRSM one, exactly. And then we kind of just made our own little private server from there. And then that's when the Ryerson server like died dramatically. I found.
The three people I remember from that server were you, Malhar, and Mayuri.
Yes. Absolutely.
Like, you guys were definitely administrators of that server.
It's so funny. You know, that was, oh my god, it's so gross, but that was like, that was my first experience being a quote-unquote Discord mod. And like, actually, like, yeah. And it's I know, eyes go wide. It's crazy. Like when I see people message, I don't know if you ever see this when you like see other students, like their work or how they do work in a group setting. But like some students don't act like university students. You know what I mean? Like,
collaborate.
Like I've seen people's, and obviously it's not just that simple of like, you know, their work is bad, so they're not good students. But like I've seen them in a group projects, especially. Some people just don't put any effort in. They don't communicate. Their quality of writing is so bad that it's just like, how are you a third year university student or a second year? And it kind of blows my mind a little bit.
I 100% know what you're talking about, man.
Yeah.
I've had some horrible group experiences, to say the least.
What was your most memorable? Because I've had some bad ones as well, but I love sharing the pain.
Globus first year.
Oh! Globus sucked.
That was an experience, man.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a group with five people. I only ever talked to two of my other like groupmates. I would get so angry. And like what do you call it? The cherry on top of the cake was the fact that we did it horrible.
Oh my god.
Like the three of us, like we're all just getting frustrated with each other. But eventually, like, the second half of the simulation, we all got really, really close. We kind of dug ourselves up a little bit, but we still did pretty horrible in that simulation.
So I do want to, because I also don't really remember it, but also to provide context for everyone who's listening, because Globus is such a niche thing. What was it about? Because I know it was like you had to make money, pretty much. But I forget what the actual premise of it was.
Oh, my god. What were we selling on Globus? It was essentially running like a business, right?
Yeah, it was running a business, but what were we selling? Because I know I did one. Marketing drones. That is right. Yeah. It was marketing drones, and you can decide how much R&D to put in it. If you want to spend more money on like carbon fiber, 8K cameras, bigger batteries.
Stock repurchase.
What was it? What?
Stock buyback.
Yes, stock buybacks, dividends. You can take out loans. Oh, that was. I remember in that.
I ruined my credit.
I remember in that Discord server, there was a guy who was like just sharing all the tips on how to do well. He was like, get R&D, never take out a loan, always do stock buybacks, and in your last year, have no cash left over in your last year. That was his tips.
I feel like he got that straight from Reddit. Because I remember, like, that's really what I think.
100%. Oh, my God.
I actually have to do Globus again next year for my capstone.
What's a capstone?
It's like a case course. Like, it's a course in your final year that you do. And it all it's basically just one massive group project. You start from week one and you finish week 14, 15, whatever it may be.
Wow.
So yes, Globus, I'm definitely going to have to do that again for, I think it was GMS 800 it's GMS 850.
850. Is it the exact same simulation?
I think it's a little bit more in depth this time.
I can imagine. Yeah. Fourth year. Might have to be a little bit more difficult.
I'm not excited.
Have you heard of that business course? I think you were going to say like bus 800.
Yes.
And what's the whole notion with it? That it's the hardest course in TRSM? Excuse me.
How it was explained to me is like BUS 800 is like you and your group mates are on a canoe, but the canoe is on fire. And you are sailing through lava down a hill into a pool of spikes.
Oh my god.
Like I heard it's rough. It's tough. And all the teachers who do that course, they mark so brutally.
Yeah. You know what actually pains me the most is that even on like, you know, the TRSM thing where you can see the descriptions of every course.
Yeah, of course.
They even say this is the hardest course in TRSM. It's like not even a secret.
I'm not excited, man.
And you have to take it?
I have to take it. How about you?
No. Shoot. I hope not.
I'll look it up for you right now.
Yeah. Thank you. This is going to be some research. So for everyone who's listening, as Paulo, you beautifully described, I've only heard it's a terrible, terrible course. And it's I don't even know what it is. Is it like a case kind of thing? Or it's just one long group project?
I it's like a mixture of both. Like, a capstone is essentially just like you're applying all the knowledge that you've learned throughout the first 3 years into like a really immersive case study. I'm not too sure if that's the correct way to describe it, but it's kind of along the lines of that.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So while you're looking that up, so are you a part of the Ted Rogers Sales Association or whatever the sales club is? Super random.
I'm definitely not. I'm not a part of any extracurriculars at Ryerson.
That's okay. No, I was just wondering because I know some people that are in it and I'm like, it seems like a cool place to be if you want to be in sales or kind of in it.
I might have to look into this, eh?
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. I see, like, I feel like the first couple of years because of COVID, I wasn't even like at Ryerson. I was just like paying for courses because I was not taking advantage of what was available at all. I'm not sure if you can relate to that or at all.
Oh, 100%. 100%. But I feel like there was some benefits to the COVID like first three semesters for us.
Yeah.
Mainly financially.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah.
Save so much money in commuting. I was working like four shifts a week first and second year because like what else am I really gonna do? I'm not gonna work 35 hours. Like I don't school work. I gotta find something else to do.
You were getting that bag. That's what it was. Come on.
By any means necessary.
That's car right.
Car insurance is expensive.
Are you a car guy?
Okay. I'm really into my car, but I'm not into cars, if that makes sense.
I get that.
Like, I'll do my tires, I'll do my oil changes, but if you want to talk specs, I'm not the guy.
Okay. Do you mod out your car?
I have like very subtle mods on it. I have a cold air intake, like a short ram. And then I also have a muffler delete with just like a titanium dual tip at the back. It's a Golf 2.5.
I don't know anything about cars, but what does that mean? Because that sounds very awesome.
A Volkswagen Golf, you know what that is?
Yeah, the car, right?
Yeah, the car.
Okay.
Essentially, I did modifications to it, so when I go broom, broom, my exhaust goes bow, bow.
Nice.
You put it in layman's make it sound a little deeper, a little bit more muffled.
Awesome.
Or a little less muffled, sorry.
Very cool.
Yeah. So you're not a car guy, eh?
Oof, absolutely not. I'm about as much a car guy as I am a geography guy. So not much at all.
You had that fact. You had that fact over me.
That one fact, that is like my, that's the fact that I have in my back pocket. That's my trivia question right there.
You know what, that reminds me of another trivia question I know about baseball. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There's only two teams in the MLB that names don't end in an S.
Don't team end names, in an S.
I worded that so horribly. There's only two baseball teams in the MLB that mm-hmm. don't end in the letter S.
Okay. Only two?
Only two.
I'm trying to go through everything. All I can think of is Yankees, Blue Jays, Red Sox.
And?
Okay. Red Sox. And I think I may have reached, I kind of reached my limit.
It's literally the exact same word.
Red Sox?
The White Sox.
Oh, White Sox.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I said Red Sox. The White Sox is really a team?
Yeah, yeah. Chicago White Sox, I believe.
Whoa.
And it's spelled like the exact same, like X, S-O-X.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, the White Sox.
Nice. Did you by chance see if I have to take Biz 800, Bus 800?
I'm sorry. You have to.
I have to. Are you serious?
Next year, you're taking.
No. Bus 800. Oh.
And Marketing 700.
Is Marketing 700 bad?
It looks interesting. Business intelligence and decision modeling.
Oh, God. That sounds like it's going to require some very niche applications.
You're a smart cookie. You'll be okay.
I appreciate that. I don't know if you ever had to use SPSS. No?
Don't bring it up. Like, this version of Microsoft Excel.
It's crazy. And I mean, listen, IBM. My girlfriend's mom works at IBM. So, and she might be listening to this. So we love IBM.
Go IBM, go.
That's right. Go IBM, go. But SPSS... What?
IBM offices in Markham.
And Markham. Yep, go IBM. But the SPS, I don't know if they actually haven't updated it in a decade, but it is, I mean, as you know, but for everyone who doesn't know, it is so outdated. It looks like it's from the 90s.
Tell me you like actively use SPSS.
No.
Like besides QMS 210, you ever use SPSS?
I didn't even use SPSS in... I didn't even use SPSS and QMS 210. I used Excel.
You didn't have to do like that BS like statistics project.
I did, but we kind of finessed the system by saying SPS doesn't work on our computers. And then my professor let us use Excel.
I'm going to write that one down for next time.
Yeah, honestly, it doesn't work.
That's... I like the only thing I remember about that project was like being up at like 3 a.m. like on the brink of tears.
Yeah.
Looking into SPS's eyes. That was horrible. Because that's so intricate. Like, I feel like there is some controls that you don't have on Excel, but it's just everything is so slow.
Yeah.
And the font is like blurry and
it's so intricate, but I feel like it's you can't do anything on it. Like and I know I you
download that application. I remember my fans on my MacBook. Crazy.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna ask another question about you. Are you a techie, like a tech person?
You have to abbreviate. Like you gotta go into that a little bit more. Like tech in terms of
like a tech in terms of personal devices. So like laptops, computers, phones, smart devices, or just more so of like a. Just give me like just a consumer, like you just use it and enjoy it. Not so much looking at the processors and, you know, like how the new iPhone's going to be or the new Samsung or whatever.
Oh, God, no.
Okay, fair.
I'm not very technologically sagacious, to say the least.
Oh, your vocabulary this past hour has been phenomenal. What was that word you said?
Phenomenal. That's four syllables. And you're talking about my vocabulary. Sagacious. Sagacious. Is the app to pick up systems quickly.
Where did you learn that word from? Because that's like I've never even heard that said or written.
You know the word savvy?
Yeah.
Savvy comes from sagacious.
Really?
Yes. Like, they're the exact same word.
But sagacious sounds so much more eloquent.
I actually use that word on my resume.
What? Sagacious?
Sagacious.
How'd you use it? What's the context of it?
I'm pulling it up right now as we speak. Here's the resume, guys.
Oh, beautiful. Oh, nice resume format.
Thank you. Thank you. Technologically literate and sagacious with the ability to learning processes quickly.
I love it.
This is verbatim off of my technical skills column.
That is amazing. Technologically literate and sagacious.
Sagacious. Is that strange of a word? Like, have you never heard that?
I didn't know it existed. I've never heard it said on TV, in a movie, in a podcast, nothing. Sagacious. I wouldn't be surprised if this is the first time sagacious has ever been said on a podcast. This year. I'll say this year. Or ever. You know, we're breaking records.
That's definitely not a comment. You know what? No, come to think about it, it's probably the first time I've said that word out loud.
Even though it's on your resume.
Yeah, like, that's a word you definitely type.
100%. It'd be so funny if, like, you get, for the recruiters, they read it, and the first time they ever say sagacious, it's like, what's sagacious? As they read it. And then they look it up, and they're like, oh, shit.
Like, what an asshole. You could have just said savvy.
I feel like sagacious, especially in the context you used it, I feel like when you read technologically literate and sagacious, even if you don't know what it means, it's just like, it just makes sense. Yeah. Like it just kind of flows, you know? It's like, yeah, I'm technologically literate and sagacious. Oh, nice. Awesome. Yeah. And then just keep going.
Just gloss right over sagacious.
Yeah. That's a wonderful word.
I'm happy you're so entertained by that word.
Like, I love it.
Made my day.
Listen, I try to keep life simple. My favorite word for a while was lugubrious.
I have never.
You've never heard.
Pleasure hearing that.
You've never heard lugubrious? I need to look up.
Is that L-U?
I think it's L-U-G-B-R-I-O-U-S. It means looking or sounding sad or dismal.
Lugubrious?
No, lugubrious.
Lugubrious. Lugubrious.
Lugubrious. Yeah. If you ever see someone looking down, just be like, why so lugubrious?
Like, just looking at the way it's spelt, like, I would think right away, this is, like, French.
L-U-G. Look. Oh, my God. Have you ever tried to be in a spelling bee? Or tried to do, like, a spelling bee kind of thing?
The year was 2012.
Really?
Old November night.
Are you serious?
No, okay, I'm just playing into it. But okay. I definitely did do spelling bees, like, in elementary school at my school.
Dude, were you good at it?
I once made it to the gym, which is essentially you take, like, the top three people from your class, and you go to the gym and do a spelling bee with, like, all the different intermediate and junior grades, and then the number one from each section, intermediate, junior, primary, they go through to another competition.
Oh, that's awesome. Were you the one that moved on? Were you one of those?
Definitely not. I made it to the gym stage 1 year.
And that's really good, though.
Life hasn't been the same.
That was the peak?
Yeah, that was the climax.
That was, I forget what the word you just said was, sagacious?
Sagacious.
That was your peak of verbal sagacity.
Sagacism.
Sagacism. That was your verbal sagacious peak.
I'm just lugubrious thinking about it, to be quite frank.
Yeah, honestly. Same here. I'm lugubriating.
I can't, I'm not gonna try to utter that. It's not gonna go very
lugubrious?
Well.
Yeah, no. That was it's still my favorite word ever. It's just so it rolls off the tongue. It hits every
every crevice in the mouth.
That's right, lugubrious. Oh, speaking of linguistics, do you know there is only one sound in, or there is the simplest sound in linguistics. It's the easiest sound to make. Do you know what it's called? A little linguistics trivia.
I have no clue.
It's called the schwa. And it's the sound like at the end of the. Yeah, if you can completely relax all the muscles in your mouth, and you can just make it. Yeah.
Interesting.
And it's, I mean, I'm going to make a bold statement. I don't know if it's true. I have not fact checked this, but I think it's like the only sound where you can completely relax all the muscles in your mouth to do that, or one of the few.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
That's a little strange to do.
Yeah. This podcast is full of trivia, from geography to flags to baseball to linguistics.
We've hit everything.
I think so, yeah. And so on that note, I want to flip it over to you, and I want to ask you if you have any questions for me about anything that we've talked about today or beyond. Anything that comes to mind.
You know what? I actually do have a couple questions for you.
Fire away.
I feel like most of this podcast, obviously you're the host. You've been asking me all these questions. I've just had a couple built up that I want to ask. First off, I don't know if you've ever gotten this before, but you look very like racially ambiguous.
I have.
Like, I have no idea what you're... ethnicity or nationality would be, but like I'm very curious.
Yeah, I'm sure it doesn't help with my mustache. I shaved my beard and I just kept this. It's a new thing I'm trying.
It goes hard. I like
the for mustache. Real?
No, like,
my guy.
Mustaches are not for everybody.
Yeah,
but it suits you.
No, you're come on. I've been not even gonna lie. I have been like contemplating shaving it off. I've been so on the fence. So I appreciate that.
You literally look like Frank Zappa right now.
I was literally looking up like an hour ago how to style a mustache. And the one that I saw was Frank Zappa and it looked just like this. I'm like, mint.
Frank Zappa. What a musician.
I've never heard of him until that website. Yeah, I'll be honest with you. But with my racial ambiguity, yeah, I've been asked if I'm a lot of things. A lot of it has been Middle Eastern, so like Arabic, Iranian, Israeli, but in fact I am Jewish, which I guess isn't, yeah, Jewish, that's a people.
Oh yeah, interesting. So yeah. Would that be Jewish from Europe, Jewish from the Middle East?
Okay, so the way my family tree goes back, as far as I know, is my parents and their parents, they were born into the Soviet Union, but not in Russia, but in Moldova and Ukraine. My dad and mom, respectively. And so that's where they grew up. I don't know how where it goes back further than that. So that's as far back as I know from my roots. And then they moved to Israel and then Canada.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so... I'm guessing it's maybe like the Middle Eastern region. Or maybe Europe. Again, I'm not really good at geography, so I guess you can extrapolate that to Moldova and Ukraine.
Mm. No, interesting. Yeah. So you're probably a mix of everything. You probably got some European or Eastern European in your bloodline, maybe a little bit of like Middle Eastern. That is interesting.
Yeah, I kind of want to do a DNA test on the low key, but I thought about it. I'm like, so I'm a little privacy conscious with my like digital data. But so I can't imagine giving my like literal physical DNA and data to a private company. That kind of worries me a little bit. I'm like, they can do literally anything with that. I don't know what, but that's what's holding me back, unfortunately.
Yeah, you would find some interesting stuff.
I know. I'm so curious, though.
Like, the one thing I've always found really interesting about, like, Israeli people. So, in my life, I don't live too far from Thornhill. So, I've met, like, a lot of Israelis. And I find that Israelis are almost similar to, like, Portuguese in the sense that they come in all shapes, sizes, and colors. You'll have an Israeli who is blonde with, you know, colored eyes. And you'll have an Israeli who's complexion might be a little bit darker with dark hair, thick hair. Like it, yeah. it's, I feel like there's a lot of different cultures within Israel.
Yeah, I mean, I've never lived there, but I'm trying to think. I feel like that's pretty true. Like, I feel like it's not all just like Jewish people, or it's not just Israelis. I feel like it's pretty diverse, especially within the Middle East. Like, a lot of people come there.
The Middle East is very, very interesting area, like, in my opinion. Like, the birthplace of monotheism. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of rich, rich history.
I'm trying to, I'm nodding, and as I'm nodding, I'm trying to think, what is monotheism? Because I've heard of it, but I don't know what it actually means.
Do you have time?
Come on. Of course I have time.
Okay. So, you've heard of Islam, Christianity, and Judaism, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, essentially, Islam, Judaism, and Christianity, they all stem from the same story. And okay. It's the story of, I hope no one who hears this podcast gets offended if I mess this up. There was two sons, one named Ishmael, one named Isaac. And there was a father named, hold on, I'm going to look it up. Who was Ishmael's father?
Yeah, fair. Better be Abraham. Yeah.
So you've heard of Abraham. Abraham is essentially the birth of all three of the religions. So what I find really interesting about the Middle East is that some religions believe that Abraham's children went on to find Mecca. Other people believe, like the Christians will believe, that Abraham's kids went on to find or to birth to Moses, who would find the Ten Commandments and talk to God. So like that specific area is so rich in terms of religious history. Like I would love to get out there and see some of the monuments that they have, whether it's in Saudi Arabia, Israel. There's just so much to uncover. Like religion as a topic of study, that is something I can talk about for hours and hours on end.
Yeah. It seems so beautiful. Like, I mean, I feel like it's such a big part of civilization's development, right? I'd imagine. Like, it's always played such a big role, for better or for worse, in the way that we've developed.
And like the similarities between those three religions in particular are just insane once you really, really look into it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, are you religious, would you say?
Not particularly, no.
Well, are you familiar with the Torah?
Yeah.
So for me, like, I'm not very religious personally. My beliefs are very skewed, but I am from a Roman Catholic background, mm-hmm. and we have a book called the Bible. And essentially, the Bible is split into two books, Old Testament, New Testament. The Old Testament is the Torah.
Wow.
Like, it's a Jewish book. It was a book created on the fundamentals of Judaism. And it's like, our religion is so similar. And when you dig a little bit deeper, and like you look into general beliefs, anything where you believe in one God, it all kind of comes from like the same idea, like the same kind of creation story mm-hmm. of Abraham and his two kids. So it's a rabbit hole to get drawn into, definitely, if you're ever bored.
Yeah, that seems like it would like suck me in.
And I'm trying to just like scratch the surface, but like there's just so much that you have to understand in order to get into this conversation.
Yeah. No, I'm going to look into it after, because it seems really cool, just even as a passive reading, not even just to like learn about these religions to believe in them, but just to learn. Oh. It seems very interesting.
Of course, of course.
Yeah. So did you have any other questions? And I said you had a couple.
There was one more I had for you, David. Here we go. How are you liking marketing?
How am I liking marketing? That's like, a nice question.
To preface that, what made you choose marketing?
Okay, for sure. For me, marketing, I like consumer, like I like knowing why people do things. It always fascinated me, even like on a world scale, just like people in general. I love the fact that people do things for a reason. However, you know, like why someone gets angry with me when I cut them off in traffic, or why somebody cuts me off in traffic, it's always for a reason. And even from a business perspective, people buy things for a reason, and there's always something that influences them. And so I feel like marketing allows me to better understand what those reasons are and actually influence people. And it seems kind of like manipulative to be like, I want to be the person who influences customers, but that's what I want to do. Like, I want to be the one to make the advertisements. I want to be the kind of voice of reason for people that pushes them towards a product that I'm marketing.
So you're more interested into like the ad creation side of marketing.
I like all aspects, honestly. I like ad creation. I like digital. I like the analytics side. I like the research aspect. I like how there's it's not really a linear area. Like, there's so much you can do, and that marketing is so broad that the opportunities are pretty much limitless, at least for me.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And is this your first marketing gig?
Yeah, this is my first actual longer term marketing stint. In the past, I would try to do, I would try to do like social media marketing when I was younger, like 17, for my sister's small business. But that only lasted about a week. I didn't know what I was doing and I wasn't very good at it. But it was kind of like my first experience looking at all the analytics and seeing all the tools that people use, like Canva and the Adobe suite and Photoshop and all that. But yeah.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I had a little stint with marketing, but it was quite literally just sorting out leads via MailChimp, which I'm sure you've heard of, being a marketing guy.
Yeah.
That was monotonous. That was horrible.
Yeah.
I actually did it with someone in our program. Do you know Jacob Goldis?
I do know Jacob Goldis.
Yes.
Shout out Jacob Goldis.
Shout out Mr. Goldis. it was with a marketing agency located out of Vaughan. They're called All the Way Up Media.
Okay.
And it was cool. Like, we did a couple contracts. Quite literally, me and him were just using this database on MailChimp, and we were sorting out. I can't get into specifics, but
right.
Customer information, we were sorting them based on tags so that if the marketer wanted to, you know, access a certain kind of customer who purchased a certain kind of product, they could do that because we already sorted everything out for them.
Nice.
Yeah.
You're being that middleman, it sounds like.
Pretty much. Make some money cool. Working on my computer from home. Can't complain.
Very cool. That's amazing. Yeah, thank you for the questions. Those are really thoughtful. I appreciate that.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Yeah. And Paulo, that's all for me. Thank you so much for taking some time out of your Monday evening. I forgot to say happy Monday.
Happy Monday.
Best day of the week. Debatable. I know. But yeah, to everyone listening, thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you had a pleasure. I'll see you all next week. Have a wonderful afternoon, evening, and an amazing good night. Bye.